Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. Can the food that we eat affect our mental health? A new study shows that vegetarians have better moods and less stress than those who eat meat. We will talk with one of the study's researchers and today's featured guest, Dr. Carol Johnston, Ph.D., Professor of Nutrition and Associate Director of the School of Nutrition and Health Promotion at Arizona State University. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Well, here's a study that shows that 75% lower Alzheimer's risk for frequent juice drinkers. With a doubling of the number of Americans over 65 by the year 2030, Alzheimer's mortality rates will continue to soar. The obesity epidemic is another contributing factor, with weight-related ailments accelerating the aging of the brain. Now, new research suggests that fruits and vegetable juice may offer powerful protection against Alzheimer's. A Vanderbilt University study found that those who drank fruit or vegetable juice more than 3 times per week were an astounding 75% less likely to develop Alzheimer's than once a week or non-juice drinkers. Researchers believe that antioxidant polyphenols contained in the juice guard against the oxidation or rust, if you will, of the brain tissue. You'll get even more healthy nutrients if you squeeze or juice your own fruit and vegetables. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word. healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And today we are talking about vegetarian nutrition, and instead of just one question for the day, we'll answer a few questions that people have when it comes to vegetarian diets. Now, one of the common questions is a vegetarian diet healthier than a meat diet? Now, there's actually scores of scientific studies that have demonstrated that vegetables, fruits, nuts, legumes, and whole grains have disease reduction properties. Accordingly, vegetarians are less likely to be obese and less likely to experience cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, colon cancer, renal disease, dementia, diverticular disease, gallstones, and also rheumatoid arthritis. Another question is, the term plant-based diet is commonly used. What is the definition of a plant-based diet? Is a question. Well, according to the American Institute of Cancer Research, which is the organization that actually coined the phrase plant-based diet, a plant-based diet is a simple diet in which the major portion of the food intake is from plants rather than meat, fish, or fowl. Now, that does not mean on a plant-based diet there is no fish or poultry or meat eaten. It just means that the predominance of the diet is coming from plant foods. Now, another question is, are there specific nutrients of concern for vegetarians? And yes, there is, and it depends on the type of vegetarian diet you follow. Although a well-balanced and well-planned total vegetarian diet does meet the recommendations for nutrient intakes, many vegans eat significantly lower levels of several nutrients, such as vitamin B12, vitamin D, calcium, zinc, iodine, and omega-3 fatty acids. Now, supplementation is recommended to help get adequate amounts of these nutrients. When eliminating fish, for instance, vegetarians may not consume the omega-3 fatty acids that normal people would be eating when they'd include fish, unless they routinely consume foods that are high in natural fat, such as flaxseed, walnuts, and soy products, which contains fat that can convert into omega-3 fatty acids. Now, when dairy products are eliminated from the diet, people that are on vegan diets, they must replace adequate amounts of fortified equivalents of cow's milk with either supplements or soy milk that's been fortified with calcium. Okay, another question that we have here is, can I have a balanced diet on a vegetarian diet? And the answer is clear and definitely yes. In fact, according to the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and also the Dietitians of Canada, appropriately planned vegetarian diets are healthful and nutritious and can meet all the recommended dietary intakes and guidelines of the National Academy of Sciences Food and Nutrition Board. Both lacto-ovo-vegetarian and vegan or total vegetarian diets are appropriate for all ages and groups, including women who are pregnant or nursing. Another question that often comes up, if I eliminate dairy products, where do I get adequate amounts of calcium? And you can get those adequate amounts of calcium from low oxalate greens such as broccoli, collards, collard greens, and kale. They provide very high bioavailable calcium sources, but must be eaten in sufficient amount of quantities to provide the calcium that you need in your diet. It takes about 3 to 4 cups of cooked kale to be equal to the calcium absorbed in 3 cups of cow's milk. Now, if a person is following a lacto-ovo-vegetarian diet, they must drink 3 glasses of milk to be considered a serving of a calcium source for the day. Soy milk is equal to cow's milk if it's fortified with vitamin B12, vitamin D, and also calcium. Now, what must vegetarians keep in mind when planning their diet? Another question is asked. And all vegetarians need to eat a wide variety of wholesome plant foods. If someone's following a lacto-ovo-vegetarian diet, they should choose non-fat or low-fat dairy products. And vegans should use supplements to help reach their recommended daily nutrient intake levels or eat foods that have been fortified with nutrients such as calcium and vitamin B12 and so forth that they may be missing in their regular diet. Another question that people ask is, can I get vitamin B12 from plant foods? And you really cannot get a consistent source of vitamin B12 from plant foods. Now, unless the plants are actually contaminated in some way or have some bacteria on them, you won't get a consistent source of vitamin B12. Now, vitamin B12 is produced naturally by bacteria in the intestines of animals, where it is absorbed and transferred to become a constituent, for instance, of milk or egg yolks. B12 is not a part of the genetic code of plants, so plants are not a dependable source of the vitamin. Some foods, such as miso, which is a high-protein fermented food paste consisting chiefly of soybeans, salt, and barley or rice grain, and tempeh, which is an Asian food prepared by fermenting soybeans with a plant mold. Now, those may actually contain inactive forms of vitamin B12 that may interfere with the absorption of the active form needed for good nutrition. So nutritionists recommend that total vegetarians or vegans use a B12 supplement of select B12 or select B12 fortified foods in the amounts of 2.6 micrograms per day. Now, larger amounts above that amount are not harmful. As people age, even omnivores may need additional vitamin B12 in the form of supplements. Commercially produced vitamin B12 used in supplements is produced by bacteria grown on plant mediums, so they are acceptable even for vegans.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
Well, can the food we eat affect our mental health? Well, there's a new study that shows that vegetarians have better moods and even are able to handle stress better than those who eat meat. We will talk with one of the study's researchers, and today's featured guest is Dr. Carol Johnston, PhD, Professor of Nutrition and Associate Director of the School of Nutrition and Health Promotion at Arizona State University. Well, Dr. Johnston, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Talking about vegetarian diets is always fun.
Yes, but first of all, let's get an idea a little bit about yourself. How did you first get interested in nutrition and get into the career of nutrition science?
Well, that goes way back to my undergrad days. I was at the University of Michigan as a pre-med major, and they told us we had to pick a major, and that sort of threw me for a loop. And so I was going to pick a major that most closely matched the pre-med requirements. And nutrition matched the pre-med requirements very well, and I ended up in nutrition for that reason. It was just sort of an interesting way to get into the field. I never thought you could major in nutrition until I investigated these majors. And you know, the idea of majoring in nutrition was so much more appealing than majoring in biology.
I understand you're a vegetarian yourself.
I am, since 1977.
Well, great. And let's maybe start off with talking a little bit about what you do there at Arizona State University in the nutrition department.
Okay, well, I head the program. I've been here at Arizona State now for 26, 27 years. I've been here a long time. Absolutely love the university and the area, the Phoenix area. Our program is the largest nutrition program in the country. We are very well recognized, especially for our undergraduate education. And we do, one of our focuses here as a faculty is research. And we do like to include undergraduates as well as graduate students in our labs and in our research protocols. I think we offer a wonderful combination of technical education, knowledge-based education with the applied research component here at Arizona State.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, let's talk a little bit about vegetarian nutrition and plant-based diets. What do you see the benefits of going more this way in as part of a healthy lifestyle?
Well, there's a lot of benefits, I think, of eating more of a plant-based diet. I personally do it for environmental reasons. I think mm-hmm. that it's very beneficial to our environment. It's a sustainable eating pattern. I think that's very important. It also helps lower the nutrients in our diets that can adversely impact our health, such as saturated fats and cholesterol and sodium. Whereas and so it has benefits as far as our health goes, very clear benefits. Much of the research suggests that longevity is higher among vegetarians, and so that's very beneficial. So I think there's a lot of benefits with the diet, health and environment combined.
Well, let me ask you this, because there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, well, vegetarian diet, you can't get all the nutrients you need for good health, and you can't get enough protein on a vegetarian diet. How do you respond to that?
Right. That's interesting. I would say that 80% of the people who talk to me about vegetarian diets, that is their question. Well, how do you get the protein? And it really, that's sort of the least concern, because there are other nutrients that are much more limited in a vegetarian diet that need to be, one needs to focus on. Protein is there. There's a lot of protein in non-meat items, especially if you're a lacto-ovo vegetarian. You actually have access to the best protein available, that is from egg and dairy. That is the highest quality protein in our food supply. And so a lacto-ovo vegetarian actually has a wonderful, rich protein sources. Vegans have to be a little bit more careful with trying to acquire adequate protein. But there are also micronutrients that are very much a concern, such as B12, iron, zinc. But a good vegetarian diet that is of good variety of foods can supply those nutrients. And And you can always supplement the micronutrients.
And in today's world, where such emphasis is put on animal products and meat, sometimes there's some challenges in being vegetarian, isn't there?
Right. A lot of people who aren't vegetarians, I think, can pressure individuals who are trying to go to a more plant-based diet, trying to limit the meat in their diet. I think there's a lot of pressure from family members as well as acquaintances to consume meat. And so I think people need some support when they decide to turn to a more plant-based diet. They need to have support from their friends and family in order to do this, because there are a lot of situations where it can be very difficult. It can put people on the spot when they choose not to eat meat.
Well, let's talk about your research, because this is quite interesting. Let's go back and how you got into this interesting topic of doing research on the moods that vegetarians have. And how did you decide to do that research?
Well, I think your listeners know about the push for fish consumption.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, the big push to consume fish was because it was heart healthy. And actually, the American Heart Association actually has its own recommendation that you eat fish twice a week to promote heart health. And at that time, back in the 90s, I thought, well, you know, that's fine. That's great. Fish is a great food. It's low in saturated fats. It's high in these unsaturated oils, which are good for you. But vegetarians don't eat fish, and vegetarians have very low levels of these fish oils in their systems. Because the main source, almost the only source in your diet, are marine foods. And so all vegetarians, regardless if they're lacto-ovo or vegans, do not consume fish. I haven't had fish in my diet since the 70s. And at the time, I thought, well, that's an interesting connection, because we already know the literature is very robust in the fact that vegetarians have less heart disease. And so this is an interesting conflict of information, because they're promoting fish for heart health, and we already know, based on good solid research evidence, that vegetarians tend to have a lower risk for heart disease. So there's a problem there. I didn't really worry too much about it at the time, because vegetarians were okay. And so I didn't have to worry about vegetarians needing to eat fish. Then you move another decade later, and the research became available showing that fish oil, not only is it good for your heart, it's good for your brain, it's good for your cognition, it's good for your mood states, and it appears to be protective against depression and just cognition in general. And then I became a little bit more interested in this, because by then I had been a vegetarian for quite a few decades and sure did not want to develop any type of dementia, which is what this research was suggesting, was that to avoid dementia, you needed to eat more fish. And so I thought, well, this is really interesting, because I never have thought of myself as being depressed. I have never thought of myself as having a poor mood state. In fact, I've always thought the opposite. And no one had ever looked at mood states in vegetarians who don't eat any fish and have very low levels of these oils in their tissues. And so if the claim is that fish oil is going to be better for the brain and mood states, well, let's look at a bunch of vegetarians and see if their mood states are worse. Because I sure personally didn't feel I had a poor mood state. And so we actually utilized the Seventh-day Adventist congregations here in the Phoenix area. And we got, I believe, 5 different congregations to allow us to survey their folks. And the Seventh-day Adventists are a great population to study, because about half are vegetarians and half are not, but they all follow a healthy lifestyle. And so we didn't want this healthy lifestyle to be a confounding variable, because if we just went out in the general population and looked at vegetarians and omnivores, the omnivores could have poor health habits, like they smoke or they don't exercise. But if we went to the Seventh-day Adventist population, we felt that we controlled for that variable, because they all practice healthy lifestyles. It's just that some are not vegetarians and some are. And so we polled this population. We did mood. We used very highly validated, trusted measures, and we measured mood states. And lo and behold, we found in this population that the vegetarians actually had much better mood states than the omnivores. And so this was very, very interesting, and it went totally against what the research was saying, that omnivore, that fish eaters have better mood states. And then we thought, well, that was just a survey, and a survey doesn't prove causality. And so let's do an experiment, because an experiment can prove a hypothesis. And so in our second study, we actually took omnivores. These were heavy meat eaters, and they agreed to change their diet for 2 weeks. And so we had about 40 omnivores, and we asked a third of them to continue their omnivore diet, don't change anything in their diet, continue to eat meat daily, including fish. And then we had a second group, so about a third of the subjects, we asked to consume no meat or poultry, but to eat fish 3 to 4 times a week. So we called that our fish group. So the fish group weren't vegetarians, although they didn't eat any flesh with the exception of fish. So they were like pesco vegetarians, I guess you could say.
Yes.
And then our third group were actual lacto-ovo. We asked them not to consume any flesh, including no fish, for 2 weeks. And so we tested mood states in the beginning of the study prior to the dietary intervention, and we tested mood states at the end of 2 weeks. And again, lo and behold, the vegetarian group, their mood states improved. They actually showed significantly less mental stress and significantly less confusion. And so we actually showed an improved mood state by following a lacto-ovo vegetarian diet. The fish group had no change in their mood states, and the omnivore group had no change in their mood states. So now we have an actual experiment that can help provide evidence that a vegetarian diet, which has no fish in it and is very low in these fish oils, is not associated with adverse mood states.
Now, why do you think that is? You come to in your conclusions that there may be some other things in the vegetarian diet?
Well, exactly. So fish oil, they're called EPA and DHA. Most of your listeners will probably know of them as fish oil, and they're only found in marine foods. And these are the oils that they think are beneficial for your heart and for your brain. They're anti-inflammatory. So these fish oils have an anti-inflammatory property. However, the oil that is inflammatory is arachidonic acid, and you never hear about this fatty acid. But this fatty acid is very high in the Western diet. It's in meat. It's very high in meat, in poultry, and fish. It's actually high in fish as well. And it's high in our oils. And so when you eat a lot of processed fast foods, this arachidonic acid is very high. Well, here is the problem. We have an inflammatory oil that is very high in our diet. And if you take fish oil, you can counter the effect of this inflammatory oil. So the more arachidonic acid in your diet, the more fish oil you'd better have in your diet to counter it. Interestingly, vegetarian diets have very low arachidonic acid because there's no meat, including fish. There's no meat, fish, or poultry in the diet. And there tends to be less of these other types of foods, these fast foods and prepared foods, just because vegetarians tend to cook more plant-based and more whole foods. So there's very little arachidonic acid in the diet of a healthy vegetarian. And so there's no need to counter the inflammation of this oil with the anti-inflammatory fish oils. And so you can have an anti-inflammatory effect by either reducing arachidonic acid in your diet, which is what a vegetarian diet does, or you can eat a Western diet high in the inflammatory oil and counter the oil with a high intake of fish oil.
Tell me, are there some other aspects of a vegetarian diet that you want to talk about here as far as possibly for mental health?
Well, our study is the first study to, you know, our series of studies are the first to address this in vegetarians. I think there's a lot of research that needs to be done. But from what we've ascertained so far, moving to a vegetarian diet is going to improve your mood state. In the long run, you would think that would have a beneficial effect on dementia and those types of conditions. But the research needs to be done, and it hasn't been done yet, to exactly look at what the long-term benefits are along those lines.
Do you have any plans for expanding on this research?
You know, interestingly, I need students to help me with these projects. And so I get students interested in these projects, and then we can actually carry through with the projects. And so there's a lot of interest in my world to continue on with this. I'm just trying to find the right students to work with me on these projects.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Johnson, for being with us today on Health and Longevity. And I'm just thinking on the future, what are some of the other studies you're working on that may be related to some of the things we're talking about today?
Let's see. Well, the vinegar work is definitely continuing, and I do have ideas on continuing the vegetarian work. Right now, I have some vitamin C work going on because that's another area that I'm very interested in, is looking at diets that are low in vitamin C. And interestingly, vegetarian diets are very high in vitamin C. And so there's an interesting connection there. Plant-based diets are high in vitamin C. The typical Western diet is quite low in vitamin C. And I think vitamin C has a lot, can provide a lot of the mechanistic benefits of a plant-based diet, I think, can be attributed to vitamin C. And so a lot of my work right now, but it has been for decades, involves vitamin C research.
Well, that's great. By the way, I've had an opportunity a few times to meet Dr. Linus Pauling, of course, who was a big proponent of vitamin C. I was actually at the Linus Pauling Institute nutrition conference a few months ago that they had. And that whole area of vitamin C is of interest of mine, too.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There are so many benefits of plant-based diets. I think the low arachidonic acid is a huge benefit. I think the high vitamin C is a huge benefit.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you. It was fun.
Now, some of our listeners have said that they have missed a show or would like to re-listen to a previous show of Health and Longevity. And if you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for this week's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.